We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Kale. And we're presented by DAC Vitamins and Minerals and Hartzler's Quality Housing. And Chris Kale, we had a fun weekend, man. We were all over the place. We're in Indianapolis. We'll talk about the Buckeyes coming up here in just a little bit. But, of course, high school football and high school basketball now. High school football done for the year. The state championship games concluded on Saturday. They started up on last Thursday night. They went Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And, of course, Travis McClellan was there Thursday and Friday. And Josh Lewis was there on Saturday for us. Run down those games and the champions for 2019. We'll talk about high school basketball as well.
High school football season is now a wrap, and it'll officially be a wrap after Wednesday night when Big Z Sports presents our 2019 Coach and Players of the Year. Of course, we'll be live on 99.9 WTUZ Radio from 6 to 9 this Wednesday night, December 11th. Only two more days, and we will wrap up the 2019 season. We got a lot of coaches that are scheduled to be there, a couple that can't be there because of their banquets and whatnot. But we will give away our 2019 Coach of the Year and our 2019 Player of the Year. Should be a great time, but the actual on-field product finished up on Saturday and up there at the Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton. Wrapped up the season, started, like you said, Joe, on Thursday night. Division II, Cincinnati LaSalle knocked off Maslin 34-17. On Friday, Division III, Trotwood Madison beat Mansfield Senior 14-7 in overtime.
The Trotwood All-Stars.
One. Yeah, a great one between Trotwood and Mansfield Senior.
Hey, I showed you where Trotwood was when we were headed to Indianapolis on
Trotwood
Saturday.
Trotwood All-Stars,
yep.
Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Division VI, Anna over New Middletown Springfield, 48-14.
The Rockets.
In Division I, finished up Friday night with Pickerington Central over Cincinnati Elder, 21-14. Another good one there. So we had some blowouts and some close games.
Absolutely, and it was neat to see the highlights. If you missed any of the highlights or want to see some scoring plays or whatever, jump on our Facebook page, WTUZ, Big Z Sports. Of course, Twitter as well, @Big_Z Sports. You can see the work that Travis and Josh did for us this weekend up at the state championship games. But congratulations to those teams that have won state titles and finished their ultimate goal this year was to win a state title.
Yeah, only one team can finish the season with a win.
Actually, seven.
Well, seven, but,
seven
but one team in each division. You know what I mean. All right, so Saturday, Division 7, Maria Stein, Marion Local. They beat Lucas 28-6.
Poor Lucas.
Yeah, Clyde over Licking Valley 42-14. And Division 5 finished up the state football finals for the OHSAA on Saturday night. Kirtland over Ironton 17-7. So that wrapped things up. Again, I want to thank, like you said, you know, Travis, who couldn't get the Division I game on Saturday. He injured his back.
Or on Friday night.
He injured his back and he couldn't get to that game. Couldn't stick around for the last game. He was in too much pain. We hope that he is recovering and doing well. Travis, we're thinking about you, buddy. And then Jay Lou had a family obligation. His wife had surgery. So we're thinking of her as well. She had a complete shoulder reconstruction. So thinking about Jay Lou's family and he had to miss that finale between Kirtland and Ironton. But other than that, we had you covered. We appreciate all the coverage from Travis and Jay Lou this week. And it was nice to wrap up the high school football season. And we'll finish it up on Wednesday, Joe.
Absolutely. And you talked about a couple of those games on Saturday night. A couple teams, Ironton, that we saw play against Ridgewood. I thought that they would probably go on to win the state. They run into that buzzsaw in Kirtland, of course. We know Kirtland, that name's mentioned every single year in the state playoffs and the state finals, it seems like, over the past 10 to 15 years. Kirtland's always there. We mentioned Trotwood as well. They're there every year, it seems like, as
Maria
well.
Stein,
Marion Stein, Marion Local. They set a record. I saw something from Tim Street from the Ohio High School Athletic Association said that they set a record for the 15th state finals appearance in in school history, which is quite amazing because they play in the same conference as Coldwater, as Toledo St. Henry. A lot of those teams over in the MAC, the MAAC over near, I showed you where Coldwater was also when we went to Indy on Saturday, but they're way over on the east, kind of like east central side of Ohio, but they play in a very, very tough conference to where, you know, Coldwater made the playoffs this year. Marion Stein, Marion Local obviously won the state title again. St. Henry, there's a lot of schools in that area that are blue bloods in high school football. So, again, some winners that we're used to seeing, again, in the high school playoffs.
I think that record tied Iggy, right?
I think it broke Iggy's record.
Did it break? It was either tied it or broke it.
I'm pretty sure that they broke it because when Tim put that out there, that it was the they set a record for the 15th appearance in the state finals. Okay. So, but congratulations to all the teams. Congratulations to all the teams in our area. Like Chris mentioned, we will wrap up the 2019 football season this Wednesday night over at Point Dining in New Philadelphia from 6 until 9. We'll have our wrap-up show. We'll talk to you know, all the coaches that we can get there. I've got, I think there's 8 or 9 right now confirmed. A couple players are going to be there as well. And so we're going to have a lot of fun, eat some food. Our stringers will be there. We'll wrap this puppy up and get ready for some high school basketball to tip off for us in January.
Yeah, and like we had said, we alluded to, you may see us in a gym near you, near us around here, coming up on the first Friday in January. We'll get all that confirmed and get it out to you here coming up, hopefully before Christmas time, as we start our, you know, transitioning into the basketball side of things. But after Wednesday night, we get a few weeks off, so it'll be nice to take a few weeks off. Nick and Adam and myself and maybe Joe even too, we'll finish up, you know, podcasting once a week. But as far as shows are concerned, we get a little bit of a break, and it's kind of our midway point, right? We finish up fall, and now it transitions into winter and spring, and we'll be with you all the way through April. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. We transition into winter sports and spring sports now, so pretty neat. And speaking of winter sports, let's go ahead and run through our high school scoreboard update for this past weekend. Boys basketball from Friday, Dover raced out to an opening ECOL night victory over Marietta 52-43. Nathan Ravine, 16 points. Cade Rusiger had 15 and 10 boards. Dover improves to 2-0. New Philadelphia, they down Zanesville 70-60 to move to 3-0. Gent Joseph dropped 25-10. Ian Haar had 15. Haar, one of those kids that's showing he's a senior, but he's stepping up and showing that he can get some long-range production for the New Philadelphia Quakers. Dover on their side, you know, familiar names. Cade Rusiger on the basketball side of things. Nathan Ravine on basketball and football side of things. Dover just lacking some size. They're going to outscore people, but they're going to have to because they're going to get killed on the boards, I think.
Yeah, when you get a team, Division III team, and you don't have much size, you're going to run into some teams that have a 6'6", 6'7", guy, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's what happens around here. Sometimes you get you get some guys that are bigger in size. You see it at the Highlands and the Garaways and other schools like that have the size. But some schools, they just have the shooters and they have some guard play, and you know, that they make do with what they have. And that's what Coach BVK will do, and Coach Vall will do that as well.
Yeah, Ike wanted to get out of here, by the way.
Well, Ike's going to have to wait. He's a rookie around here. Come on, Ike.
That's I had to leave for a second because Ike's like, he wants to go home.
Did it make you sick to hold that Cavs jacket in your hand?
A little bit. Okay. He knows I'm a Celtics fan, so it's okay. I'm sure we'll have plenty of bantering back and forth is what'll happen.
And Nick McWilliams didn't like your comment there.
What? Nick didn't like what? Oh, it's whatever. Tuskegee Valley, Tuskegee Valley, they steamrolled Indian Valley 37-24 to move to 1-1.
Steamrolled behind, them, huh?
Yeah, I got a steamroll. Yeah, they stomped them, whatever.
What was the score?
Okay, how about this? They stomped them with Tyler Stump's 17 points.
Well, what was the final?
37-24.
Wow, really? That was a stomping?
They stomped them. You know why they stomped them? Because they defensively shut them down.
Yeah, but stomping's like 60-20.
Well, I have a stomping in girls coming up later.
Well, I'm sure you do.
Okay, anyway. Tyler Stump.
I'm pretty sure I know who it is, too.
Right. He had 17 points, and Owen Miller had 11. Indy Valley dropped to 0-1. Grant Schutte led the way with 7. Claymont down Sandy Valley, 56-51. Michael Lasecki dropped in 14 points, and Gavin Povic added 12. Highland ripped Strasburg, 47-23. Corey Hostetler, 18 points. Hunter Summers, 10. For the Hawks, Tayshawn Curtis led the way for the Tigers with 6 points. Garraway, they downed TCC 54-34. Braven Raber had 15 points. Peyton Keim had 12 for the Pirates. Buckeye Trail, they drilled Canaan Valley 88-46. Ronnie Rominger had 20, as well as Garrett Berga. They both had 20 points for the Warriors. Garrison Imes led the Rockets with 23. East Canton dropped New Cumberstown 56-46. Mansfield Madison snuck by West Holmes 59-56. The lone game on Saturday on the boys' side, Carrollton, they beat West Holmes 58-48. Adam Cheney had 19. Brady Benner, 17. The Warriors are 2-1. Jacob Hammond had 11 and 13 boards for the Knights. Girls basketball, Highland, they pounded, steamrolled, whipped Garraway 79-29 to move to 4-0 and 2-0 in the IVC. Kylie Horn led the Lady Hawks with 16. Bryn Mullett, 13. Wow. Lizzie Mullett led the Lady Pirates with 9. Highland outscored Garraway 47-7 in the second half. As it was 32-22 at the break.
And it's we talk about it every year, man. Highland, you think they lose a bunch of talent, and they did. Both boys and girls lost a bunch of talent from last year. They
really
come
good.
Back and they're still really good.
Yeah, they're really good.
And speaking of size, all the size in the area this year with Garrett is out with Highland. They have a guy that's like 6'8". They have a guy that's like 6'4", 6'5". And I'm like, they're Division III, Division IV, and they've got all the size in the area. So.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yep.
Dover, they downed Riverview 39-37 in overtime. Cam Blair hit a foul shot to seal the deal.
Hey, we know that guy.
Who?
Cam Blair.
I said Sam Blair.
Oh, they said Cam Blair. I'm like, dang, we know that guy.
No, we're on the girl side.
Oh, okay.
Now you got me going that way. Sam led the Lady Tornadoes with 11. She is only 21 points shy of 1,000 for her career in a Lady Tornado uniform. So congratulations to Sam. I'm sure she'll pick that up pretty soon. Alana Belknap, Morgan Kaiser had 12 apiece. The Lady Tornadoes 2-2, 1-1 in the ECOL. Jessica Hartsock led the Lady Bears with 12. New Philadelphia took care of Marietta 66-39. Annie Monaco had 5 3-pointers to lead the Quakers with 15. The Lady Quakers, as a team, dropped in 11 from long range.
Wow.
Josie Pry had 14. Nice to see Annie Monaco. It was always Annie Monaco. I don't know if she goes by Annie Marie now. So we'll see. Once we get down the road, we'll talk to Coach Cornell or Annie down the road. But I know that it's good to see her back on the basketball floor. Her sister is such a special player that went on to the college level and do great things. And Annie's doing good things over New Philadelphia. She just signed a deal to go play at the next level for volleyball.
Awesome.
So the Lady Quakers continue to roll. West Holmes, they beat Indian Valley 43-27 to improve to 5-0. Claire Reynolds led the way for the Lady Knights with 14 and 7 boards. Carissa Bardall led the Lady Braves with 13. Tuskegee Valley drilled Malvern 55-21. Lady Trojans jumped out to a 28-6 lead at the midway point. Aurora Levengood dropped 18 as Tuskegee Valley 4-0, 2-0. Allie Shane added 11 points and 8 boards. Jasmariah Morris-Moore led the Lady Hornets with 7. TCC beat East Canton 49-46 in overtime. Annette Weston, Sophia Knight dropped in 14 apiece. TCC 4-2 and 2-0 in the IVC. Strasburg, they destroyed Our Lady of the Elms 51-17. The Lady Tigers raced out to a 20-0 lead to improve to 2-2. Maddie Becker led the way with 10 points. Marlington beat Carrollton 49-26. Abby Leisure led the Lady Warriors with 12 as they dropped to 0-4. Swimming from Saturday, the Dover girls, they rolled to a 409-244 win over St. Clairsville in the Dover Invite. There was like, I think, 19 teams there swimming.
Wow.
New Philadelphia finished third with 176. The Dover boys, they squeezed by Riverview 275 to 258. New Philadelphia was third with 231. Freshman Lucas Lane set all the records in the area, I'm telling you. He set a meet record in the 200 free with a 149.26.
And he's only a freshman.
He's wow. The kid's a monster. Wow. If you see him in the pool, monster.
Wow.
He's really, really good. And then finally, wrapping up the high school report from wrestling on Saturday, West Holmes finished second in the Cambridge Invitational. Dover finished eighth in the Mount Vernon Invitational. Host Malvern finished fourth in the Hornet Holiday Invitational. And bowling from Saturday, New Philadelphia finished fourth out of 15 teams at the Norton Tournament. Jake Whitman had a 6.04, Blaze Bacon a 6.01 for the Quakers. That wraps up your high school sports report for this week.
So high school sports in the books for the weekend. Let's move on to college football. Chris, we were in Indianapolis on Saturday. The Ohio State Buckeyes, they come out and kind of not show up in the first
half.
Laid
an egg is what they did.
In the first half. They had some issues in the first half. They were trailing, probably should have been 14-7. They give up a late touchdown in the first half. It was 21-7 at the half, Wisconsin. And we're sitting up in the press box like going, what the heck? What's going on with this team? Who is this team that, you know, and of course they come out and make adjustments. And it was the team that we watched all year show up in the second half, and they get out and they outscore Wisconsin 27-0 in the second half to win 34-21. So a nice win for the Buckeyes, Big Ten champions 3 years in a row now. And of course, nice.
Would they
game.
Say they're 32nd overall Big Ten championship?
I believe so.
I think it was 32nd, is what we heard on the way home.
So really great experience over there. We left early on Saturday morning, got home early Sunday or late Sunday morning, almost. Midday Sunday morning, it felt like. But great experience for us, and I would appreciate you driving over. And I got to see the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which I had never been there before. That's like a city unto itself. I mean, you get to Indianapolis, and then all of a sudden, the Speedway. If you've never been there, go. I mean, it's quite impressive. I'm not a big racing guy, so I was like, yeah, it can't be that impressive. I get there. It was rather impressive. So Chris showed me around his, what do we want to call it?
Your it's my holy ground.
Yeah, there you go. So we were, you got to do something that you never got to do before.
Yeah.
You got a picture in where?
In Victory Lane. That was pretty cool.
In Victory Lane.
Yeah, that was something that I've never done before. So that was pretty cool. Every time I go over there, I do something different and get to see something different, and I've been going over there for 35 years. So it was awesome that I could take you over there and let you experience it. I wish we could have had more time. You could have went to the museum and stuff, but you need a couple hours to do
sure.
to do it right. They've got their big holiday light show going on right now where you can drive on the road course and down the front straightaway. It's pretty cool deal. But we got to see a lot of things. We got to see Joey Chestnut eat 10 pounds of shrimp.
Which is crazy.
Joey Chestnut, the Jaws, is a beast.
Yes, he is.
And it was great to be there during that eating contest. The Ohio State team won.
Yep.
And then Joey Chestnut beat everybody by like 3 pounds of shrimp in 8 minutes.
It was crazy.
There was nothing better than seeing the announcer. It was not George Shea, but it was his kind of the other guy that helps him out say, Joey Chestnut! It was a highlight of my day. And then we got to spend a lot of time, obviously, in the Lucas Oil Stadium. We got a lot of photos and stuff and videos online. The last play of the game has gotten a lot of reviews on our website. You know, a couple people called us out and said, oh, if Big Z Sports is so big, you guys should have the same access on the field that every ball the other entities do. Yeah, right. Well, guess what?
We did.
It is what it is. Big Z Sports was proud to be there, happy to be there, and being the only local entity that was covering the Big Ten championship game. Hopefully we'll be able to continue to do that again. Although we were kind of talking about going down to Atlanta, if that's where Ohio State is going,
and they
are
host.
Not.
They got a host. But anyway, the Buckeyes win on Saturday. Come back.
Justin Fields MVP, by the way.
209.
KJ Hill was my MVP.
He was my MVP as well. Right. And
we
Justin
votes.
Fields. We got
that's
votes
how legit
to do it.
We
yeah.
are.
Yeah. So 299 yards, 3 touchdowns for Justin Fields. J.K. Dobbins had a huge day. Outrushed Jonathan Taylor.
33-172.
Outrushed Jonathan Taylor yet again You know, and J.K.'s overlooked for the Big Ten running back of the year. They give it to Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor's a good back. Don't get me wrong. Rushed for over 6,000 yards in 3 years at Wisconsin. First back to do it in 3 years. So congratulations to that. You're just not the best running back in the Big Ten this year, in my opinion. But anyway, the Buckeyes win. They advance on. The playoff rankings come out yesterday.
As I predicted.
And of course, LSU with the ESPN good old boys bias in the South.
No, LSU beat the number four team in the country. But I get it. And Ohio State struggled in the first half.
Oh, so one game's going to declare.
No.
Hold on. But this is a good debate for us right now because I've wanted to talk about this. And this isn't my Ohio State fandom coming out. This is just facts, okay? Ohio State was told by the committee told us that Ohio State's the most complete team all year. All year, they've said that. Okay, well, LSU jumped ahead of Ohio State 1 week because they beat Bama. Okay, great. That's fine. Whatever. But you know what? Ohio State has one bad half. One bad half, and they think, oh, gosh, they're not very good now.
Right.
And then they come out and dominate them in the second half. And the game wasn't, 27-0 in the second half to a team that, looked like they were going to beat the socks off the Buckeyes that night. Buckeyes come out, make the adjustments. They get the Big Ten championship. But then all of a sudden you have an LSU team that has started the last 2 weeks, okay? The last 2 weeks, they've started to play defense. And all of a sudden they're the best team in the country because they play an overrated Georgia team. And then they beat the socks off of some other bad SEC school. But the Buckeyes have played three top 10 teams 3 weeks in a row, but they're not the best team in the country.
Oh, they've played more top 25 teams than what LSU has.
They have five top 20 wins.
And I'm telling you, if all those people out there saying that Clemson is going to blow Ohio State out, you're going to see a little bit differently come a couple weeks. I get why they did it. And I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, so it's really not a debate. Plus, we really don't have time for that this morning.
I know.
But the bottom line is that I predicted that was exactly what was going to happen. Because why? Because the nation loves the SEC and gives the Big Ten no credit. That's what happens. The ACC and the SEC are always the kings when it comes to, playing against Big Ten teams. And that's just, even the Big 12 overshadows the Big Ten. Why? I don't know, but it is what it is. So your matchups in 3 weeks are Ohio State and Clemson. That's the 2 and 3 seed. And then getting the bye will be LSU as they play a 2-loss Oklahoma team that I think they'll pound.
A 1-loss
Oklahoma. Is it 1-loss? Okay, loss. Sorry. I think they'll pound Oklahoma,
LSU,
but that's besides the
point. As of right now, LSU is a 12-point favorite.
Yeah.
Clemson is a 2-point favorite over the Buckeyes, which I find hard to believe. But anyway, the Buckeyes, like you always say, a chip in a seat. They're in it. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
You're going to have to beat two undefeated teams to be the state or to be a state champion, be a national champion. You're going to have to beat two undefeated teams because I think LSU will beat Oklahoma. Yeah. And of course, Clemson sitting there not playing anybody all year.
Should
finally will run into their first team of the season in the Buckeyes. But
because Clemson only played one top 25 team and that was a number 19.
No, they were 23rd
or whatever Virginia team that they pounded. So. Yeah. You want to talk about playing cupcake schedules, right? I hear Notre Dame fans. I hear, Alabama fans, Clemson fans, all these SEC honks that want to sit there and say Ohio State plays a weak schedule. Well, guess what? Ohio State's off conference schedule had three championship.
Four. All four of them played for a conference championship. Two of them won.
Right.
You think about the way they dominated their non-conference. Miami of Ohio, you're like, oh, they're terrible, but they're MAC champs. They won their champ. They're 7-5, but hey, they're conference champs.
Whatever.
They had Cincinnati who get beat by Memphis 2 weeks in a row. Memphis legit. They lost their coach to Florida State. Did Memphis, but you look at their non-conference and say, oh, well, they didn't play anybody. Well, beg to differ.
Right.
But anyway, this conversation's for another time when we have more time to talk about the Buckeyes and talk about college football. I kind of miss talking about it on Fridays, to be honest. But, hey, we'll get back at it in January and hopefully when the Buckeyes are getting ready to play in the national championship game.
Yep.
So we will talk about it more then. But real quick, NFL yesterday, Steelers get a big win, a huge win in Arizona. Didn't think they would go out there and win, to be honest, but that defense is really starting to play well. TJ Watt, Joe Hayden played really good.
Did you say TJ turned down for Watt?
Jeez.
Is that what you said? Did you say that?
And of course, his brother had to run his mouth on Saturday saying that Wisconsin, blah, whatever. Hey, JJ, go worry about not getting beat by who did get smoked by? The Texans? The Texans got smoked by somebody over the weekend.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It was the Texans. Man, who was it? Somebody that should. There's no chance they should have.
I don't remember.
But anyway, the Texans get smoked. Yeah. I think J.J. Watt needs to worry about that a little bit.
But Duck 3-0, first undrafted.
But who have they really
undrafted
played?
Undrafted fourth-string rookie.
But who have they really played?
Who cares? He's a fourth-string rookie out of Samford.
They played the Bengals, man.
Doesn't matter. I don't care. The Browns barely beat the Bengals.
Ridgewood could beat the Bengals.
Okay. Well, bottom line is Duck Hodges, first undrafted rookie quarterback to win his first three starts since 1987. Do I think this is a playoff team? They're probably going to get in the playoffs, and they're probably going to get beat in the first round. Don't care. They beat the Browns. That's all I cared about last week after all the trash talking that went on 3 weeks ago. Jeez. So that was the only thing that was my concern. We beat the Browns twice. I'm good with it. They could lose the rest of the games for all I care. But bottom line is Steelers playing well. Their defense is legit. If they weren't so injury decimated on third string running backs, third string defensive linemen, fourth string quarterbacks, they would probably be up there with Baltimore, but that's besides the point.
Now, when the Browns beat the Steelers 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, how long ago was, who was it? Rudolph was the quarterback then? Okay, so here's your last three opponents. That's why Ducks 3-0. The Bengals, who are 1-12. The Browns, who are underachieving and not very good. And then the Cardinals, who are like 3-11 or 3-10.
Yeah, and they also have the last two.
Hold on. We'll see how good they are.
Hold on. Two of those teams have the last two number one overall picks.
Underachievers.
And the Ducks beat them.
But one of those.
I played them both.
But hold on. One of those number one overall picks is suspended, so he didn't play, so you can't count that.
You can't count that.
I'm just saying, you can't count. He didn't play against him. The first time he played, the Browns beat the Steelers with him.
I'm talking about the last two games. Baker Mayfield was the number one pick 2 years ago.
I was thinking,
and what happened?
I was thinking Myles Garrett.
No,
sorry.
I'm thinking of Baker Mayfield.
I don't think
he outplayed him. And he outplayed Kyler Murray bad.
Who's overrated? Anyway.
Well, who cares? But,
so the next three games for the Steelers, the Bills, that's a challenge. We'll see what happens. The Bills
Saturday
are pretty
night
good.
Will be a good one.
The Jets, they'll beat. The Jets are terrible.
And then Baltimore.
And then Baltimore will beat the socks off the Steelers. Well,
I'll bet you they don't.
I bet you they do.
They might win.
Where's that game at?
They might win, but I bet it's
Baltimore.
At Baltimore.
The Steelers are going to get their socks beat off.
But let's speak of your knocking the socks off of your 1-12 Bengals.
Hey, I want them to be 1-15.
Dalton's terrible.
Hey, the team's terrible.
And the Browns, who are just as terrible, squeaked by with a 27-19 win yesterday.
Bengals are awful. I've never admitted that they were any good.
Right, and the Browns are terrible, too. And I'm not admitting that the Steelers are...
A Super Bowl contender. I don't think the Browns are terrible. The Browns are not good because they came in with a lot of hype that they have not lived up to.
Right.
And they're not playing up to that potential that they should be playing up to. So is it a down year? Yes, absolutely.
But it wasn't supposed to be a down year.
But I know that's hype.
People getting Super Bowl tattoos and booking tickets to Miami.
That's hype, though.
Yeah, it was way over hype.
And they haven't lived up to that hype because I think they have a head coach that has zero idea what he's doing.
Right.
Was the wrong guy for the job. And unfortunately, and I hate to even say this about the Browns, but they probably should let him go at the end of the year. And I don't like seeing coaches not get a fair shake at... You know, having 1 year and getting let go.
Odell Beckham is disconnected from this team. Did you see yesterday?
I think he's standing
in his spot on the field while the team's in the huddle.
Well, I mean,
he's disconnected. Sure. Guess what? Odell Beckham, we all knew what was going to happen if they had a bad year or if they underachieved like they did. He'll be gone.
But here, I mean,
he's gone.
And they made a great point. He apparently only practices on Friday because of this injury that he's had all year that the training staff allegedly
didn't take care of properly. He can take his groin pool and go elsewhere.
But I mean, he's still under contract. He's got two more years.
And I'll bet you he's somewhere else.
No,
Kareem Hunt in a one-year contract.
I don't think so.
He's not going to stay.
You never know.
They're not going to keep him with
Chubb. Never know. You never know what happens. But anyway, the Browns underachieving, not playing up to their potential. The Browns suck. The Steelers overachieving maybe a little bit
now. Sure they are. And, with a four-string quarterback? Yeah. Absolutely they are.
So they're overachieving. But the Baltimore Ravens are playoff bound. They clinched a playoff spot yesterday. So they're really good. Lamar Jackson, probably the MVP of the NFL this year. The Patriots, they get knocked off in their home winning streak. So we'll see what happens.
And I got a poke for everybody watching right now that the Baltimore Ravens do not win the Super Bowl. And they probably don't even get there.
I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but right now they're the best
team.
This
is the exact same team they had last year. The only difference is, really, is Mark Ingram at the tailback position. This team is way overachieving. They were terrible last year. And terrible a few years before that. Joe Flacco was terrible. Lamar Jackson, he's one of those guys that a squirrel's found a nut every once in a while. Well, he's found a couple open receivers. We'll see what happens next year when they got film
dude,
on him.
He's the second NFL quarterback to ever rush for 1,000 yards two years in a row.
Rushing. Again, he's a running back, not a quarterback. But that's besides the point.
But he's having a great year, man. You can't take that away from him.
He's no Pat Mahomes. He is no Tom Brady. He is no Drew Brees.
Okay, but I understand all that. But, I mean, he's having an MVP caliber year with doing something that nobody ever thought he would do, running the ball the way he does, throwing the ball very efficient that way, having a great year. The Ravens, you're just saying that because it's a Ravens rivalry. I get it, but you can't deny what he's done. Patrick Mahomes having a great year again, but not what he did last year. Is he now?
I said that he would not have the year that he had last year. Mahomes will come back down to reality because these teams will find a way to scheme and watch tape against you and pick you apart eventually. If you are a good player, you will sustain it. Okay? Pat Mahomes has proven that he can kind of sustain this deal. He's having a good season. Lamar hasn't proven anything yet.
Really?
And it's just like Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has not proven anything yet. I said you better wait till next year when everybody was hailing him as the next coming of Drew Brees in Cleveland, and it's not happening. Why? Because he's an average quarterback. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback for Cleveland, that he's not going to be the quarterback in Cleveland for the next 10 years, but he is not an MVP quarterback. He is not a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and he has two really good running backs. One running back who was suspended, who led the NFL in rushing. Another one who they way underachieved giving him the ball because they should feed Nick Chubb nonstop. They've got a Pro Bowl, two Pro Bowl wide receivers in Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham who they cannot get the ball to. And they've got a pretty good defense. This team was way overbilled, is way underachieved, and it's embarrassing. Just going to put that out there. It's embarrassing that you cannot win. You can't even make the playoffs with the team that they have. Embarrassing.
Okay. But getting back to Lamar Jackson and defunking your thing about him. He has thrown for 2,600 yards this year, 2,677, 28 touchdowns, which leads the NFL. He's rushed for over 1,000 yards and 7 more touchdowns. So essentially, almost 4,000 yards of total offense for Lamar Jackson, 35 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions. He leads the NFL in QBR. He leads the NFL in rating. He's having a phenomenal year. And
let's see what he does next year.
But we said that last year.
We said that last year with Pat Mahomes, and he's come back to reality. You can't judge Lamar Jackson. He was a running back last year. He could not throw the ball last year. Yes, he worked in the offseason. He found a passing game. Let's see what he does next year.
If I remember right,
I don't think this Ravens team's that good. I know they've only lost 2 games, but I find them similar to Jacksonville a couple years ago when Jacksonville went to the AFC Championship, and then they decimated the next year. I see Baltimore doing the same thing.
I don't know, man. I like what he has done, and I think he's not getting enough credit. I really believe that, and I think that people have got to understand that the way he was, you know, he just wasn't.
He didn't throw very well last year at all.
But he's gotten better, you know, and John Harbaugh has given him the option of saying, "All right, we're going to work our offense around you. You're not going to be coming to our offense.
I get it.
We're gonna tailor our offense around you.
I get it.
So Pat Mahomes this year has thrown for 3,200 yards, which is great. But where's his 50 touchdowns? That's right. He's 21 touchdowns.
Well, I agree. That's what I said. He's coming back to reality. He is going to be around for a while. He's not going anywhere. He's going to put up great numbers. Lamar Jackson, probably going to put up decent numbers. He'll be around, but he'll put up decent numbers as a rusher. As a passer, I think he comes back to reality next year, and he's an average quarterback throwing the football. He's an exceptional running quarterback. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying that he's going to not be the starting quarterback next year. Not saying he shouldn't be the MVP this year. I'm saying give the guy another year, just like we did Pat Mahomes, just like we did Baker Mayfield, just like we did everybody else. They come back to reality, and they aren't as special is what you thought they were.
But I think Patrick Mahomes not having that year that he had last year, but I think everybody still feels that he is a very special player.
He is a special player.
And I think
but
Lamar
he's not
Jackson,
an MVP candidate every year.
But he's not having an MVP caliber. If you base it on the year that he had last year, what he's doing for, is he the MVP this year? No, because Lamar Jackson's running away with it, no
but
pun
even
intended.
If Lamar Jackson wasn't there, I don't think he's your MVP.
Well, I mean, yeah, but Lamar is. That's what I mean. I mean, Lamar's taking
I get that, but I'm saying take Lamar Jackson away. Let's just say he...
No, but no defense has been able to take him away this year.
Let's say that he's not even in the league. Lamar Jackson was not even born. He's not there. He's gone.
I don't know the stats.
Is Pat Mahomes your MVP? No.
I mean, I don't know the stats. I don't know. Like,
I don't need to look at numbers. It's not all about the numbers, right? Our Big Z Sports Player of the Year isn't always about numbers. It's not always about this guy threw for the most yards and the most touchdowns, or this guy ran for the most yards and the most touchdowns. It's not all about numbers to me. It's about the whole... Let me look at the whole picture.
MVP stands for what?
The most valuable player to their team.
Okay. So you take Patrick Mahomes off of Kansas City? Are they the same team?
I don't know. Alex Smith led that team to a playoff team in, what, 3 losses 2 years ago?
But this year, if you take Mahomes off of Kansas City...
Depends on who you put in there.
Answer my question. It doesn't matter. If you take him off of that team...
Yes, they are. Because
they're
going to put a good quarterback
they're
in
as
there.
Good?
Yeah, depending on what quarterback you put in there.
If you take Lamar Jackson off the Ravens, are they the same team?
No, because he's a running quarterback.
No, he's not.
Okay, then. Then who do you put?
You just said you take.
If you take Pat Mahomes and put him on the Ravens, then the Ravens are just as good.
I'm not asking that. I'm asking if you take Pat Mahomes off of the Chiefs and replace him with a backup. Is he?
It
doesn't matter. He's a backup. You put the backup quarterback who's not good enough to start over Patrick Mahomes. Are the Chiefs as good without Patrick Mahomes at quarterback? That's what MVP means. If you take Tom Brady off of the Patriots, are they as good without Tom Brady?
I think they can be better.
If you take Ben Roethlisberger off the Steelers, are they a 12-3 football team or a 12-4 football team without
Well, they're
him?
Doing pretty good with a four-string quarterback right now.
But they're 7-5.
But they're doing a pretty good job. No, they're 8-5, by the way.
But
that's besides the point. My thing is when you talk MVP, you can't just say, hey, take Lamar Jackson off and put somebody else in, or are they as good? It depends on the quality of quarterback that you're putting in there.
Jackson is the most valuable player to his team and probably the most valuable player in the league.
If you put Duck Hodges at quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, are they doing what they're doing?
No.
Are the Ravens doing? No, they're not.
No.
But if you put Pat Mahomes in at the quarterback position of the Ravens, are they doing what they're doing? Yes, I believe they are, because you put a good quarterback in that system, and it is what it is.
But that's not how the MVP is looked at. The MVP is looked at if you take the best player off of that team and replace him with his backup, are they that good?
That's not what we did.
But
that's not what we did in our debate, even for player of the year.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the MVP of the NFL.
Is that not what we're doing? Is MVP of the high school sports area is our Big Z Sports Player of the Year?
Is that not the
MVP award?
Our most valuable player to his team.
Okay.
So debate it like this.
But
then.
We've had
so,
different discussions.
Our finalists on MVP or our player of the year for Big Z Sports, you take Baron May off of New Philadelphia and you replace him with his backup, Kobe Hoover. You know, no offense to them, but are they as good without Baron May?
I don't think so.
Is Ridgewood as good if Gabe Tingle's not the quarterback?
No.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
But if you take Gabe Tingle and put him in New Philadelphia,
but we're not doing
they
that. They don't
but
do
that's
that
what
in
we
the
talked
NFL.
About.
We're doing about replacing him with their backup.
That makes no sense.
But that's what they're that's how the MVP is gauged.
That makes no sense. It's not.
Oh my God, Chris.
It's not.
You take Mike Trout out of the lineup in Anaheim, are they as good team without Mike Trout in there?
It depends on who you put
That's
in.
Wins above replacement. That's what that stat is. He has the biggest wins of above replacement in Major League history.
In my opinion, I think how you judge an MVP is if you can take a player off of one team and put him on another and he can do the same thing that that team's doing, then that tells me that he's a valuable player. If not, then maybe he's not as good. If you can take Lamar Jackson and put him in Kansas City, are they still doing the same thing?
But that's not that's not the debate.
That tells me that he's a great player if you can move him around. If you can substitute a player with a four-string quarterback, maybe he's not that good. That's
this?
What I'm getting at.
How about this? You take Justin Fields off the Buckeyes and you put Gunnar Hoke in there, or you put Chris Chuganoff. Are they as good?
No.
Okay.
But that's I think the Buckeyes still win with Chuganoff in
but
there.
You got to replace the starter with a team on the roster, with a player on the roster, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So you take Lamar off of the Ravens and replace him with his backup, are they as good?
No.
Okay. That's all I'm asking. If you take Pat Mahomes off the Chiefs and replace him with whoever the backup is there, are they as good a team?
No team is as good with their backup.
That's why they're the most valuable player to their team.
Oh, right, but that doesn't mean they're the most valuable player in the NFL. Right?
Jesus. All right. We'll continue this debate.
You're not
debate.
Making any sense.
We'll continue this debate in January when we get on back with the Big Z Sports Show. But again, don't forget, Wednesday night is our Big Z Sports wrap-up show of the year live from Point Dining in New Philadelphia. We'll announce our Coach of the Year, and we will announce our Player of the Year for 2019. And we will see you Wednesday night beginning at 6 o'clock. Again, big thanks to DAC Vitamins and Minerals, HeartServe's Quality Housing, for the sponsorship of the Big Z Sports Weekly Podcast. Joe Gekler, Chris Kale, we'll talk to you Wednesday night beginning at 6 o'clock.
Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.